Okay, it's recording, so nobody snore. We don't want that to be recorded forever. Well, of course, as you are all well aware, it is Father's Day, so I want to start off by saying Happy Father's Day to everybody in the crowd who has had a part in being a good example and being a father to whether they're your child or they're somebody else's child that you help as they grow, get older, and as they learn how to be a good person. So thank you for that. Many of you may have met my father. He sits over in this area whenever they come and visit, Ray Garcia. And if you are intelligent, you might have noticed that he is actually not my biological father. You might have noticed that we don't look too much alike. He's a wonderful man, and he's really taken care of me from childhood, given me everything that I need as a young man, and has really continued that on into adulthood. You know, although he isn't my biological father, he is somebody who has sacrificed a lot and given me a lot as I have grown older, as I have come to know God. I may or may not look like him. You know, I'm not 6 feet tall. I don't have hands the size of a dinner plate, and our eyes don't quite look the same, but I truly do call him Father, because he's the one who raised me. You know, I don't know if you know this about me, but by the grace of God, I was not raised by my biological father. As a matter of fact, my biological father chose drugs and alcohol instead of choosing his family. He chose to abuse his family, both physically and verbally. He chose to abuse the very blessing that God had given him. And unfortunately, as we look at the statistics today, there is a pretty large number of fathers that choose that same route, that have chosen the same thing. According to a U.S. Census Bureau, one out of every three children live without their biological father in the home. You know, this staggering statistic really kind of shows the climate of fatherhood today. Shows kind of how dramatic the impact of fatherhood truly can be. For thousands of children, they're lacking the protective nature of what fatherhood is. Protective factors against drugs, against alcohol, abuse, and criminal activity. And studies have shown that one of the most important things that a father's presence has on a child is that it increases the children's socio-emotional and academic functioning. Some of the most basic attributes of growing up. The minor building blocks of our life can be given to us by just simply having a present father, somebody who cares for you, somebody who loves you. So what has fatherhood become today? Maybe a more important question, what will fatherhood be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, whenever your children or grandchildren are fathers? What will we think of fathers then? I do know one thing. I know that in fatherhood, the most important thing in my life has been faith. The most important thing that I have been given through my father is faith in the Lord. And without that, there's little hope for improvement. There's little hope that statistic of one out of every three will ever change. So turn with me. We're going to be in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verses 14 through about 27. So in Mark chapter 9, we see a wonderful story about a father who's just scared. A wonderful story about a father who, like many of us, need faith and reassurance, need a fostering of a trust in God. So starting in verse 14, it says, "And when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. And immediately when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, 'What are you discussing with them?' And one of the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it.' And he answered them and said, 'O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood, and it has often thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.' He says to Jesus, the Son of God, 'But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.' And Jesus' response to him is, 'If you can, do you know who you're talking to?' Jesus, the Son of God, says all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father cried out and began saying, 'I do believe. Help my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again.' And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up." So yet another miraculous story in the gospel. Yet another miraculous story enacted by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Which of course you can understand why he was a bit perturbed whenever the man said, "If you can do something." Because he has the power of God. He is God. And here we see this wonderful story taking place, but yet, even though we look at it, oftentimes we just see one aspect of it, right? When in reality, this story is taking place on two very distinct levels. The most immediate level that we see is the response from a very personal level. On the micro level, we see a father in need of help. And as a father, I read this story, and in many ways, I project my feelings about my children and many of the fears that I have associated with their protection and their well-being. And it touches my heart to read this narrative about a father who cares, a father who's just looking for help. I envision my own children in need of help, in need of a miracle, much less, in need of so much more than just physical healing that medicine or anything that we can do can provide. I see a man that knows that his child needs the great physician, one who is able to heal the body, the heart, and the soul. You know, over the years, medicine has been enhanced quite a bit. Over the past few centuries, we've seen disease and disability, things that once meant certain death, now they're being cured or even prevented. Advancements have been made in vaccines, surgical anesthetics and antisepsis, antibiotics and antivirals, radiological imaging and organ transplants. Just the other day, I was able to experience one of the new things that they have out in cancer treatment. And they're able to actually target a small area within your body. They focus the concentration of x-rays on a particular part through this really big, expensive-looking machine. And nowadays, we're living to 90-plus. Nowadays, we live for quite some time, and the body can be healed, and we can see life from a new, longer perspective. Advances in modern medicine have saved countless lives and restored countless families. But yet, we're still like this man, afraid of dying, because we are dying. Our generation is still facing death. Our children are still suffering from emotional heartache, mental illness, and spiritual disease. And apparently, Jesus saw a similar story unfolding. Remember earlier I said this is happening on two levels, because we see the man imploring and asking for Jesus' help, knowing that he needs the great physician. But on another level, we see a generation of people imploring and asking for God's help, but yet doing so without faith. At the macro level, we see a society that is failing to truly believe in their Heavenly Father. And as Jesus says, when he tells them, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Yeah, the father's faith is a little weak, as Jesus points out, but so is the generation's. We see a desperate man longing for a cure for his son's spiritual disease. And we see in verses 22 and 23 that even in this man's desperation, he lacks the faith and understanding. He still says, but if you can do something, take pity on us. So as we know, the Jews, by this point, they have been through a lot. They've been through captivity. They've been through occupation. They've been through religious and social unrest. And they were beat up at this point. Their faith was worn through years and years of unrest. And it was torn by the religious leaders. Somebody else is a little unresting right now, huh? And so even the leaders of the day, their faith was struggling. This man found himself in a generation of quote-unquote believers who were lacking the faith to trust in God. I don't know about you, fathers, grandfathers. Sometimes I feel like I'm lacking a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith that it takes to truly save my children. And as fathers, we are going to have to be strong enough to admit weakness We're going to have to be strong enough to say that we can't do it on our own. But we're dads, right? Dads can do everything, right? Except for take the crying child out, because you never see the dad actually do that. But as dads, we say things like, eat it. It'll grow hair on your chest. You didn't beat me. I let you win. How about you're going to like it, whether you like it or not. Turn off those lights. You think I'm made of money? I'm not sleeping. I was watching that show. When I was your age, I had to walk to school in 10 feet of snow uphill both ways. That's a classic, especially here in Texas.
Or, put it in snow.
Yes, there you go. My personal favorite, and maybe something that I say quite often, I'm not going to pay someone to do that. It'll be easy. I can do it. We're men. We don't need help. We don't need help to save and protect our children. We tell you how it's done when things need to be done. I'm surprised I haven't gotten an evil look yet. Well, I'm here to tell you today, it's time to start getting things done. As fathers, it's time to realize that whenever it comes to this spiritual battle that we're in, whenever it comes to the well-being and the protection of our children, in order to get things done, we need to start leading by a true example. We all know what's behind all that gruff representation of ourselves and that pride that we present. We know that whenever we say, it'll be easy, I can do it, we end up spending a lot more money on the professional to do it. We know that sometimes we can't do it. And just as the man stood before his son that was being ravaged by evil spirits, afraid that his son would never recover, so we face the innocence of our families, trying to protect them. And not to toot our own horn, but yeah, I think as men in this community, in the United States, a lot of us do a pretty good job of taking care of the financial aspects of things, of protecting them from, you know, the little kid who wants to beat them up, teaching them how to defend themselves, or whatever the case may be. We protect them from things like criminals, poverty, creepy boyfriends. But what about protecting them from spiritual things? What about the son that gets involved in pornography and forever his perception of intimacy is changed and warped? What about the daughter that battles with self-image, that seeks love and affection in all the wrong places? How do we protect from that? As fathers, we find ourselves helpless in the face of spiritual illness. And we can't just man up to this. We can't just put on that strong facade and say, we got it. Instead, we must humble ourselves before God. Humble ourselves and say to God, as this man did, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Father God, I do believe that you can defeat pornography. I do believe that you can defeat the doubts in my daughter's head that she's not beautiful or good enough. I do believe that you can overcome every evil in this world that faces and awaits my child as they grow up, as we try to make them into spiritual giants. Question is, as men, are we going to be willing to ask for that help? that we so desperately need? Are we going to be willing to humble ourselves to receive the true protection that God provides from the spiritual evils that are out there? So now, as you think about your family, as you think about your children and grandchildren, what are the things that are facing them? What are the things that you need to protect them from? What's going on in your life, in your family's life, that you need to ask God for help with? Now, as you're thinking about those things, we're going to stop for a second. I want you to close your eyes and we're going to say a prayer. I'm going to give you a few moments to think about some of those things that are going on in your life. Some of those things that are ravaging your families. Some of those things that might be ravaging your own heart that we find ourselves helpless against. Close your eyes with me for a moment and think about all of those things. Think about everything that Satan is throwing your way. And for a moment, let's ask, let's implore that God help. Father God, we come to you knowing that we are not capable of anything without you. As our true Heavenly Father, we know that you are a protector, you are a shield, you are a comforter, you are our strength, Father. And we ask now that as we are considering all of the things that are facing our families today, that are seeking to tear them apart and take them from you, we ask that we would submit to you, Father. That as dads, as husbands, as Christians, Father, we would be willing to hand things over to you, to give you the reins, and lay our burdens down at your feet, Father, because we know that you are capable, and only you are capable. Father, we ask today that you would give us the faith and the courage to trust in you, Father. We thank you so much for providing your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we have talked about resilient families, and really, where else could you start than with the mothers, right? The stronghold. The foundation in many ways of our families that you cling to from such a young age. Among other things, we learned that a mother has strength, inner beauty, and a fear of the Lord. We later learned that a resilient family not only has that strong, faithful mother, but there are some things that they practice in their lives. Whenever things get hard, they make meaning in adversity. Whenever things seem doubtful, they have a positive outlook. And quite possibly, most importantly, whenever it seems like we're caught up in this world, we transcend it through spirituality. We go beyond its limits through the kingdom of heaven. And so as fathers, as maybe the capstone to all of this, and as families together, we have faith to know that everything we do, everything we try, will fail without God. In the end, we seek Him and we trust in Him. And today, as we celebrate fathers, we celebrate dad's courage to stand as the spiritual protector of the family. We celebrate a father's willingness to humbly accept the guidance of our Heavenly Father. And most of all, we accept and we appreciate the triumph of every family that is led by God. Because together, in Christ, we can overcome anything. Death, illness, divorce, whatever it is, we can overcome it. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I hope, dads, you get the steak that you wanted today, or the Harley Davidson maybe, or whatever it is that you receive. But today, just as every other Sunday and every day of your life, may we thank our true Father in heaven and give Him the glory as we stand and sing.
Jesus is warring, calling for